Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And today we're speaking to Simone, a P and a new podcaster.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right. This is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
Guess what?
What?
Summer came for today.
Yeah, today and tomorrow in Victoria.
Yep.
We are having summer 2020p.
Yep. I'm not 100% sure when you're hearing this, but it's the 2020p summer.
Yeah.
We've got 2 days over 35.
Yes. And while I was reading, it's the 40-year anniversary of Ash Wednesday.
Is it?
So that was really big fire, bushfires, because I lived in Ferntree Gully, which is at the base of the Dandenongs, and I remember the ash falling on me at school.
I remember the ash.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, I'm 46. Must have been in grade one.
It's the year we moved to Melbourne.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was about to turn 11.
Yeah.
I was 10.
Yeah.
Wow, really, 40 years. I feel so old.
I know. And then I didn't know that it was actually in South Australia as well.
Yes.
But I didn't know that. So I'm reading that this morning
so
going,
consumed.
Oh.
Consumed.
Yeah, because I just
cockatoo
thought.
And
yeah,
Dandenongs. Just, and sorry, that's Melbourne lingo.
Yeah, but anyway.
The whole of Melbourne could see the the fire and the ash. And then the dust cloud.
Yeah.
Was a big drought year. So anyway, we won't complain about not having a hot summer.
That's right. That's
we
right.
Will not.
So anyway.
How's that for cheery chat?
Yeah. Welcome. What a great episode already. We promise it's going to be great. So we have a great P on today who, Kate, you have met in person.
I have met in person.
Yes.
So I went to one of the most beautiful places in Australia. I hadn't been there before.
Ah.
It's the Sapphire Coast, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the water is so blue. And it was Marimbula-ish.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we met at lunch.
Yeah. So would you like to say hello and introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. I'm Simone. And, yes, I met Kate at an awesome event in my hometown and been a big fan for a long time. So it's really surreal to be here on the podcast talking to you guys. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, we're rapt to have you. Thank
really
you
good.
For your support. Okay, let's start with our three questions.
Yep. Okay, so the first question is, do you have a song or a band or something that either helps you in the bad times or pumps you up in the good times?
I sure do. I like to pump Back in the Game by Airborne, who I believe are Australian.
Right.
And if you've got a bit of a Cobra Kai thing going on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Annalise does. She's going to love that. Yep. Put that on the Spotify. Yep.
Yep.
Oh, love it. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. I don't know it. I'm going to listen to it.
Yep.
And what about, did you win any awards at school?
No, nothing. No.
We love that answer.
Out there.
Same.
Have you won any awards any other time in your life, though?
I've won some business awards. Oh, so that's been pretty cool. Yeah.
Tell us about those.
What have I won? I've won some business awards through the New South Wales Business Chamber, the Telstra Business Awards. Won an award for our startup a very long time ago. So, right. Yeah.
Let's hear more about that. If you don't get awards at school, you can still get them.
Yeah, well, we don't. Yeah. Other people don't.
We lose them. And I'm quite pleased to lose them.
Yeah. Well, it's on brand now.
Yeah, so, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And our very favourite question, why are you a P?
I am a P. I've got two beautiful kids. So I've got my son who's, will be 16 this year. He was born with a rare kidney disease requiring a kidney transplant, which he's had. Mm. He's 10 years post-transplant, so touch wood, he's in really good health. Mm. And after we got him through all of that when he was – the ripe old age of five, he was then diagnosed with autism and an intellectual disability.
Right. Mm. Wow. That's
a
lot.
That was a big journey.
That was a lot. And I often say to my husband, we have a daughter as well who is nearly five, who was born at 25 and a half weeks.
Doing things typically, do you?
She wanted to be in the pee.
She wanted to be.
Oh, wow.
So, that was 7 months in NICU, far, far away from home. Yes. So another big hospital journey.
Simone.
Like us, you're going to be in therapy for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
That's what happens with all this.
Yes.
And also poor Simone joined our Zoom last week when we had the same Zoom at the same time as P, and I had to then quickly say, I'm so sorry, but you're meant to be next week. And she was very gracious,
P. She was.
So thank you because we said we're very sorry. Bye.
Yeah, we're very sorry. We have to go. We've got someone else waiting to be recorded. And we had to tell her, we're like, can you just leave because we need to talk to them? She's like, yeah, no worries. So I'm like, okay, this is the standard people expect from us.
Yes.
So we haven't ever set it high.
Yeah, anyway.
We keep the bar low. So let's go back to your 16-year-old. When you were pregnant with him, was it just a typical pregnancy?
It was. And looking back, now there's so many signs. Right. So I was living in Alice Springs at the time and I did have gestational diabetes, but I remember you'd go to clinic and you have to pee and they'd be like, there's so much protein in your wee, and I'd just sit there all day and they're like, okay, you can go. So that was one of the signs. Wow. And then he was born at 36 weeks, which I guess is pram, but I wouldn't compared to 25. No, I don't know. That's nothing. Just early.
Yeah, it's early, isn't it?
Yeah, it is early.
Is sort of.
So he was
and a shock for born, your first baby being early.
Yeah. So I had an emergency C-section because there was an issue with the placenta, which was also another sign.
Right.
I had a very large placenta.
Okay.
And then he was diagnosed at 4 months. It's really hard to look at his baby photos because I can see it now.
Right.
But you'd go to clinic, you'd go to the community nurse, and then we actually took him to hospital. He was a bit, I'd say, puffy, but his belly was very distended.
Right.
Now that I know what that means. Yes. And then I'll tell you what happened because it's quite, like, it's just, it's really weird talking about it now because it seems like a dream because it's so long ago. But I remember being in Alice Springs. I went to the community nurse and she weighed him and she's like, "Oh, you and this is a baby that slept and pooped and did all the things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like breastfed, everything, no issues." So, yeah, I went to the community nurse and she weighed him. She's like, "Oh, I'm going to send you to the GP." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, cool." So off I went to the GP. And the GP kind of did the same thing. She's like, I'm going to send you to the paediatrician. Mm. Like, they're waiting for you. And I'm like, okay. And
they're
in Alice.
They're waiting for
you. Wow. Yeah. Like, it's quite known in Alice, unless you chop your arm off, like, you don't see the ped, won't see you.
So
I'm there at the hospital and she's like, take a seat. Your baby's very sick.
Oh,
and I'm like,
Simone.
Oh, I'm like, oh, like, okay. And she's like, call your husband. Oh. And I'm like, oh, nah, it'll be right. She's like, nah, call your husband now. Oh. Come, get him to come now. And then they did some test. So his disease is called congenital nephrotic syndrome Finnish type.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is his kidney leaks all the protein, that the protein in my wee from pregnancy.
Right.
So, and it sits in his body as fluid. Right. So he'd be very puffy. So he'd have albumin infusions every day for about 4 hours to flush it all that water out.
Yes.
Every day. And then what would happen with his disease is the kidney fails, so the protein stops leaking, but then your kidney, you have no kidney function.
Yeah.
So up until 1987, they didn't know what it was and what to do. So very, very newly diagnosed. So I feel very fortunate that we got treatment. Mm. And yeah, so he's just to fast forward for you, a lot of time just I left Alice Springs with him on Royal Flying Doctors, on a Royal Flying Doctors flight with my handbag and a laptop.
Oh, wow.
For a few days. I never went back to my house.
Really?
Yeah. So we did 6 months in Adelaide and he had life-saving treatment, I would say, and he had a nephrectomy, so they removed one of his kidneys. He was 6 months old.
Oh,
and then we moved to Brisbane because we had to be in metro area.
Did you have – who packed up your life and did you have amazing friends or like what? How does that happen?
What happened? We had just got married and we just bought a place in Alice. Alice is a beautiful place.
Yeah.
And we husband did all that and he would fly back and forth to Adelaide. And then his work was really good and our Alice crew like were really great and they looked after him and they looked after me too, I guess, from Adelaide and Alice are quite connected.
Yes.
We did all that and then my husband's work, he could like go get it, like they could put him in a job in Brisbane, so they just made all that happen.
All right.
Wow.
And that's how we ended up in Brisbane, which probably wasn't the best move because we went to Brisbane, didn't know anyone and just back on that kind of treadmill. So it was like a tag team for a long time. It was like he would go to work and I would go to hospital.
Yes.
And that was like just how life was for years, for so long.
And you had no one with you in Brisbane, no family, no friends?
No. I've made some really amazing friends. I call them like my kidney family.
Yes.
You've had them on your podcast. So she's one of them. And this is a long time ago, you know, I think it wasn't that long ago, but it is so long ago. There was no real support networks, but I posted something on a US forum.
Yes.
And
this
mum in
Facebook.
Brisbane.
Yeah.
Yep. So a mum in Brisbane reached out to me and she's now like my bestie.
Oh,
so,
I've got tingles on my
goosebumps.
Yeah. Goosebumps.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So it was really weird that I found her via a US forum.
Oh, yeah. I remember the forums. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and there was actually another mum in Brisbane whose son, I think there's probably been 30 kids in Australia that have had that disease, and he's had that disease, like he's had two transplants now. So, it's a very small, I guess, you know, as you would know, everything's so rare and an anomaly and you can all have, we could have the same diagnosis, but the treatment can vary. So it's quite complicated stuff. But, yeah, the medical team really looked after us and, he's doing really well. So I can't complain, you know.
So in Adelaide, when you were, you know, away from your husband and your community, were you staying at like Ronald McDonald House or?
Yes.
And so was he in hospital that whole time?
Yeah, he was because he was a baby, so he was in I'm going to say I remember Rose Ward, so with the babies. And, yeah, Ronald McDonald House. I believe it was in Royal Children's, Women's and Children's Adelaide, and Ronald McDonald House was just around the corner, but I believe they've extended it and built it a lot. And there was a time when he could come home, come back to the house. And, yeah, there's some families from that time as well that we're still, our families, you know, we're still in touch with their kids and stuff. So, yeah, yeah.
So up until when he was five, you went to the hospital every day?
Pretty much, yeah.
For that four-hour treatment?
Oh, yeah.
Right. So no holidays, no weekends away?
No, nothing.
Oh,
nothing.
You must have been in, like, this really weird time zone. Like, I know when Dad died, I remember thinking nobody else knows what's going on. Yeah. Like, were you like that, like living this half weird life?
I just – that's what I mean. It's so weird to think back about it, because I say to my husband, I'm like, things were harder with Jet, our second one, and he's like, don't say that. Like, your brain's forgetting.
Yeah.
But that was, it does happen.
Yeah, because I'm like, it was I don't know how. I think you just get in a zone and you just do
you
it.
You have to. Yeah.
Like, you're just in a bubble. And then I guess because you're at hospital so much and you're at Ronald McDonald House, like it's actually normal.
Yeah.
Because everyone else is like,
yes,
and especially Ronald McDonald House, so many people are like from, you know, there was heaps of people from Alice and Darwin and from and Mount Gambier. So everyone's like we're all kind of aliens stuck together.
It's strangely like family.
Yeah. So it's, it is odd, but I don't know. I can't think now how I did it, but I just
you just did it. You have to.
Did you ever go to
kinder or anything, or preschool, or
he went to, so he had his transplant just before he turned five, and we kept him back a year. But then after his transplant, because before his transplant, he got really sick, and he was he was on hemodialysis at Westmead in Sydney.
Yeah.
So that was another seven month stint up there. And he was really, really, really sick, and they kind of got him good, and he had his transplant. And then after his transplant, he, like, overnight, his body changed.
Yes,
but because he'd been so sick, then it was kind of highlighted his development was behind, and then they did all the assessments and stuff. But everything was just focused on his health.
Of course, of course, save his life.
Of course,
And so did you then move to, like, mainstream school, or was that all that testing time? Is that when you found out about his autism and intellectual disability?
Yeah, so he has always gone to special school.
Yep.
And always been in, like, a support class.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's always been in that kind of stream of school, if you can call it that, which he needed, and I'm really grateful for, because they are phenomenal.
Yes. And so you were still in Brisbane at this time?
Yeah.
How long did you live there?
We were only in Brizzy for, I think, 2.5 years, and then we went back to – We're from Wagga, so we went back to Wagga. I was desperate to just be able to get in my car and know where the shops are.
Yes.
That, like, unconscious confidence.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand that.
Oh, living in a local community that you know is just
you take it for granted.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, so when he got to a stage as his kidney failed, his albumin infusions kind of went down to twice a week and then once a week. Once it was kind of manageable for a regional hospital, even though Wagga's a very, very big place, and they were confident to manage him, we could move. So, and I was just, we were desperate to get, because it was like a tag team. Husband would go to work, I'd go to hospital.
Yeah.
Like, we knew a few people, but it was, even like I said, going to the shop, just doing stuff, it was just so hard to.
Yeah, it would be. Oh. And did you have friends and family in Wagga?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. You know, you can someone can come and have a cup of tea with you and stuff that just is typical normal life.
Yeah, yeah. Going back to Wagga was really, really a great move. And, yeah, and that's when I started my business. So, yeah, I felt I had the brain space to think. I say that the whole point of, like, my podcast is I started a business and I've had a great career and a lot of success, but I was creating my own job because I was never going back to work anywhere ever.
That we hear you.
I've got to go to Westmead for 6 months.
Yes. My employer's not going to be okay with that. I can't be a cashier at Bunnings.
Yeah.
Much as I would like to do that, I have to have a job that allows much more flexibility.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So, that's kind of, I just didn't think about anything. And, those creative juices were flowing and I was desperate to do something,
to do
something. Have like a creative outlet.
Yes.
To feel like myself, to feel like I was contributing and not just the mum of the sick kid.
That's right.
Yeah, and to remember who you are.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think most parents can relate to that, actually.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And how old was your son when you had your second child?
He was 10.
Okay, right, yeah.
And were you living in Wagga then when you had a micro preemie?
No, I was down on the south coast. So my husband's from here and we've spent forever holidaying here. It's great to live here and we lived here. So another great story, we were trying to have a baby for so long because I was 42 when I had her.
Mm.
So we started a round of IVF. Mm. We're doing some genetic testing because my husband was Josh's donor. So we don't have many spare kidneys, but anyway, so we did all that. And when we
ask about that.
Yes.
No,
it's enormous, actually.
It is enormous. So he was in hospital when your baby, a little five-year-old, had his new kidney and you were doing all the support for everyone.
Yes. So my brother was with me. My brother's always been a great helper. And, so at Westmead you've got adults and children.
Right.
Dropped husband off at adults, dropped Josh off at children's, and there's this big secret long corridor between the hospitals.
Right.
And you just wait.
Oh my God.
It's the same as Alison.
Yes.
Ashley.
Same as Alison.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, Simone.
What? I just don't think I'm a complete rectum when it comes to this. I just don't think I can even process how hard that is.
Yeah.
Like, just an incredibly terrible, amazing day.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a big day. And when my husband got out, like I couldn't find him. Like they call you, he's in recovery, he's on the ward and all that. And I couldn't find him and I was like freaking out.
Yeah, yes.
But he was with the Governor General.
Oh.
Random. Random. And he's like off his face talking to Kristen Bryce. And she it was just so random. She was, you know, like how they do a
just
hospital
visiting,
visit.
Yeah. And he's like, I've got some things to say to you.
Man, just donated his kidney that's just literally come out of surgery and he's off his face. Have a conversation with him. I don't know who thought that was a good idea. Anyway.
Probably a favourite of all time.
She wrote us the most amazing letter afterwards. It was so beautiful. We got it framed somewhere. Beautiful handwritten letter on special paper.
Yeah.
But it's pretty funny. There's some funny shit that happens.
Of course there is. You do.
Does he remember the conversation?
No.
My favourite type of conversation.
And then when I found him, he's like, it's all right. I'm all right. Go get some Thai food. And
we're not getting Thai food.
Who's going to get Thai food? Anyway, it was hilarious. So, big success for him. And then Josh, he came out a lot earlier because they were going to do with your kidneys. Your kidneys are like just up on top of your hips in the back.
Mm.
Now, in the front of your belly, you've kind of got some spare plumbing, right?
Yeah, right.
Weird. So they can take a kidney and put it in the front and connect it all up to your
belly. Right.
Yeah. Mother Nature, magic. So they were going to put Craig's kidney into Josh's front.
Right.
They drew a line down the front of him, but they actually, Dr. Shun, they changed it and they did the hockey stick cut, which is a hockey stick on your side and right across your front
right
and put it in the side, but connects up to this kind of spare plumbing in your
incredible
stomach.
Wow.
Yeah, so Josh got out early, but when I say early, I think he was in for 5 hours.
It's a long time for a mum to
it's a
be
long
waiting.
Time.
Yeah,
long
it's a long
time.
Yeah.
It's a very long corridor. Yeah. Yes. It's a very, so yeah, over at just, you know, I don't know what you do. I can't really remember what we did. My brother was with me. I think we went back to Ronnie Mac, but you just
got
to
distract yourself and not think about it.
Yeah.
It's awful.
You just be running on anxiety and adrenaline and it's just pure coping.
But yeah, he came out and he was in, you know, I think he did 2 days in ICU, but he was totally fine. His kidney worked straight away, produced urine. And yeah, being, you know, touch wood. He's had a rejection to the nephron of something. It's so complicated, I don't understand it, but he had to have like his platelets stripped and go into isolation I don't know. It's a standard procedure, but that was a few years back. But they expect that, and it's incredible what they can do. So yeah, he's, you know, we probably do every 6 to 8 weeks do bloods, go do clinic, and you know, because he's immunosuppressed, he gets sick quite easily, and you know, takes longer to recover, and then, you know, gastro, all that kind of, we've passed all that stuff now, but gastro is really bad.
Yeah, scary.
Just, and you don't want to dehydrate him and upset the kidney. So, he's doing really well.
Oh, amazing. How was COVID? Were you terrified?
Well, I was really happy about COVID because I feel like that's how I've lived ever since.
Somebody else shone
a light on your life.
Yeah, because I, you know, we're at the shop, someone coughs, I'm like, get here.
Yeah.
And I think too, you know, I was very hopeful that it would show the world how easy viruses are spread.
Yes.
How important it is to not go to work or school.
Yes. I really believe that is a benefit from
it. Yes, I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah, on some level.
And
you know,
the world's opening up online.
Yeah.
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 Go to Zooms.
Yeah.
People are wearing masks still and you're like, good, this is great.
I saw people yesterday and I was like, okay, you obviously aren't feeling well. Good for you. I'm going to do the same thing in winter, of course.
Yeah.
So I, and, you know, we live in paradise, so that helped. Those 2 years, you know, we didn't have the lockdowns like you guys did, but we had really beautiful weather, so it was just out walking every day, sunshine, you know, go get a coffee. Online school was amazing. So, it all kind of – it was really, really good. You know, it wasn't good, but I had – when I first heard of COVID and I was speaking to someone about it, I remember someone saying to me, like, people won't be able to go to work for 2 weeks before it really blew up. And I'm like, oh, okay, like,
we'll be doing
whatever. And then, but then I'm like, you know, I've kind of lost where I was going to go with that. Oh, yes, I had a moment, an afternoon, where I didn't have a panic attack, but I was like, shit.
Yeah.
This could be bad.
So
I did have a moment and then I thought, okay, I can spend the next however freaking out about this or I can just do my thing. I'm like, you know, we live, like we had just gotten through the bushfires.
Yes, literally. Yes.
Literally. So my resilience, I'm very resilient.
Thank God.
Look at the positive side of things. So it was a bit, I had a moment and then I spoke to I spoke to our nephrologist. I rang her and she booked calls to speak to all of the parents. And just, she was very like, there's nothing more you need to do than what you've already done. She was like, wash your hands and blah, blah, blah. And then I think before there was any vaccinations or anything, you know, I'm kind of like, well, we're very isolated here, so we're quite safe. I felt confident. Mm. But we did dodge it, though. We did, like, deliberately dodge it, even when things started opening up and that, and, you know, wearing masks. I'd put gloves on to go to the shops. Yep. You know, I started getting my groceries delivered, like did all those things to really, and our husband's work was quite strict about it too. So, and then we had kind of, they had things in place where he works, there's people coming from all over. So, and all the Victorians, I think, kind of just stayed in New South Wales for a long time. They couldn't go home.
No.
And then they had very strict testing procedures. But for him, they said I don't think my husband's got it. We've actually all had COVID twice, but my husband, I don't think, has had it once. But if he was to get sick, they were going to put him in a hotel and do all that stuff. Right. So we had all the backup plans.
Yeah, we did have amazing health care actually during that time.
Yes.
We did.
Yeah. Yeah. And Josh got COVID. I felt really sick. I actually went to Canberra and I was driving back and my bones were aching. I'm like, oh, I'm just old.
Yeah.
Because I drove up and back in the
so
day.
Tired. Yeah.
And I went to bed and I woke up the next, I went to bed at like four. I said to husband, I'm just laying down for a bit. I went to bed for like Friday 5 p.m. and I woke up Saturday at like 7 o'clock p.m.
Oh, wow.
I did a COVID test and I've got COVID. And then I did Josh's COVID test and I left it upstairs and then I went back to bed and husband's like, he brought the thing to me. He's like, oh, come on, it's not that bad. It was really faint. I'm like, dude, that's not my test. That's his, that's Josh's. So he's had it from school, been fine, and I've got it. I just had like the really bad body aches. And then I'm just like, well, you know, I think we've all had four needles now. We're all kind of covered. Yeah. But I was kind of relieved that it's kind of like, oh, we're kind of done.
He made it. I mean,
No,
it's very scary. Yes. It's still scary. Yeah we've got lots of posts that it's a really big, really, really big deal for. So,
Tell us about being a micro-prem mum. Mm. My goodness, how did you have any energy for that? Mm. I mean, you love your baby, you do it.
Mm.
Yeah, so.
So you're living in Wagga.
I'm living in Wagga. We're moving to the South Coast.
Yep.
We're about to do our IVF stuff. All do bloods, including Josh. Mm. I reckon 17 litres each. Mm. I've never seen so much blood come out. Thing. I land in I come to the South Coast and I'm here and this place in Adelaide keep ringing me, Mrs. Isles, you've got to call us. Mrs. Isles, it's really important, call us. The blood people, I'm like freaking out. I'm like, oh, my God, there's something wrong. Mm. And I ring them and they're like, you're pregnant. And I'm like, what? And they're like, you are pregnant. And I'm like, no. They're like, we are calling you to tell you that you are pregnant. And I'm like, okay. Like, weird. And so I go across the road and I get a pregnancy test and I'm pregnant. So then I have to call all the people and say, I'm pregnant, naturally.
I don't need your IVF at the moment.
Yeah. And, had to do like a whole bunch of tests, and mainly because of my age, a geriatric mother. So I had a team in Canberra and I just went to a routine scan and my cervix was open.
Wow.
So I was 24. I went to my 24-week scan in Canberra. I'd just taken Josh to clinic in Sydney and coming back to Canberra.
Simone.
Yeah, so I had Josh with me. So I'm just doing my ultrasound and she had the student, like, person with her and I usually don't let them. And I'm like, yeah, this is cool. And then she's like, you need to call a doctor. She said that to the student nurse. I'm like, I know what that means.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I've been here before.
Yeah, so they put me in a room for the whole, like, they just shoved me in a room, like a little tea room thing, not a hospital room, because I was at Canberra, but I was in like a clinic. So yeah, I'm sitting there all day and they're like, all right, we've got a bed for you. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? They're like, yeah, you've got on the ward. I'm like, I've got Josh with me. They're like, oh yeah, you'll have to arrange something for him. I'm like, I don't live here. Like,
there's no arrangements.
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, so I had to.
And how old was he? 10?
He's 10, yeah. Yeah, so my husband just started a new job and I had to ring him and go, you have to come to Canberra.
Wowza.
I mean, how long does it take to drive from Marimbula to Canberra?
About 3 hours.
Right, okay.
It's not long. Yeah.
Well, it's long enough.
Yeah.
And so you were in hospital for a week and then.
Yeah, so I have the talk. This might be upsetting for people, so tune out if it is. They sit you down and they give you the talk, the grey zone talk.
Right.
24 to 26 weeks is the grey zone, so it's not a good zone to be in.
No.
What do you want to do? And then you start a protocol like steroids and some other stuff. And I was all right, I guess, but, yeah, you know, just went into labour and had an emergency C-section, 25 and a half weeks. Oh. So, yeah, I just remember it hurting so much and they give you like a magnesium shot, not a shot, like a drip or something.
Right.
Oh.
And it's supposed to go for 2 hours or 40 minutes. And I remember they started my drip and they're like, no. Nah, You don't even have time to have that. Like, you've got to go to theatre. So I was completely knocked out. Oh. My husband would be like, it's happening. Oh, in your car and come up. So, yeah, had her.
Had a general anaesthetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. So because I've had a C-section, I had the cut and then I had a cut like that as well because she's up the top. You know, she's only half baked, still sitting up the top, upside down.
So Simone made like a T sort of upside down T.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was probably, that's took a long time to recover from that, like my poor insides. But it's surreal to think about it because she was in NICU and she didn't get any viruses or anything. Wow. And I just think now too, back to the COVID stuff, like all those people, like they stopped doing transplants during COVID but having a baby or a NICU, only one person.
Oh, it would have been horrific.
I can't complain about it because it's horrific.
Yeah.
But I guess when you're in this bubble, there's always others way, way worse. So I always kind of try and lean towards gratefulness. I'm going to start crying.
Yeah.
Alison taught me that. She's phenomenal.
I know.
So, 7 months in NICU and it was an interesting time because I just
kind
of.
In Canberra the whole time?
Yeah. And in Ronald McDonald House, but Ronald McDonald House was in the hospital.
Right.
Under NICU. So it was just for mums with the kids in NICU. I think it was just that. But I couldn't do that again. So I just kind of sat in my room or sat in NICU and I just kind of went into, I just couldn't do the whole I don't know how to explain it. I'm like, I feel like I've done all that.
Yes. And
I've
got my got
proof. To know yeah, yeah, yeah. I understand that.
Yeah.
So I just kind of hid and I did a lot of work on myself and my mind. I had like two therapists on the go because I'm like, this is pretty
effed
up stuff.
Yes, it is.
Like, I didn't know you could have a baby at 25 weeks.
Mm.
But then again, NICU's full of.
Yes.
Friends.
Yes.
Like,
why wouldn't it be me? That's what I would think. I'd have to tell myself, of course.
Who do you think you are? Yeah.
Like, you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
My friend Charlie, she was really funny. She's like, you're an entrepreneur. You don't have time to waste to have a 9-month pregnancy. You've got to And I really like that.
Yeah,
it was really.
It helps. Those sort of like silly jokes help, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she she's got they thought she was blind in one eye. She wears glasses.
Right.
but she's not blind. Her vision's not the best. She's got a bit of a speech development, but she's feisty. She'll headbutt you. We just look at each other and like, remember when you were like,
I know, look at you.
Now she's like, wipe and snot down your face. Yeah. So, you know, so good times.
Yeah.
So 7 months old, she came home.
Yeah.
And did you see your son during that time?
Yeah, so we did. He would come back and forth, and because we had just moved, we're trying to settle him. He's actually quite cruising, very good. We've changed, we've moved around and done a lot of stuff, so he's really good with that.
Oh, that's so helpful.
I think he was a little anxious.
Yeah, his mummy wasn't around.
Yeah, so but it was really great for him and husband Craig to be together.
Yes.
I somehow found a nanny on Facebook. He would do like before and after school pick up and drop off. So we kind of winged it, managed it, and yeah, everything kind of worked out. And then it came to a point where, again, they would come up and stay, or I would come home and spend time with Josh, and Craig would be up there when she was, you know, like when she was having, like you could feed her and stuff.
Yeah,
So yeah, like we did all that, and it wasn't that far away. It wasn't like Sydney to Wagga like we'd done with Josh, but it's still, yeah, I think it's just like, it's just our normal. It's just how we go. So I don't know how to explain it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
And did you have support, because you just moved there, so did you have people dropping off food, or were you?
Yeah, husband's friends, he's got people he grew up with here, so they were really helpful. Good. And my brother's in Canberra, so and you get there's so much support from hospital, you know, the social workers, and they, you know, and I was very proactive because I didn't want to have like a mental breakdown.
Yeah,
so I had
for you.
I had the hospital social worker who was actually phenomenal, because sometimes you get people like, I'm not seeing you ever again, please go away.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
And then I found someone online, and I just, you know, I did a lot of, I kind of dived into minimalism, even though I wasn't at home, and I read a lot about Stoicism, like the Ryan Holiday stuff. And I just did a lot of self-care, and I don't know. It was I knew we'd get through it.
You had to steal yourself to cope.
Yeah.
And like I said, like it's talking about it seems so surreal because it's so long ago, and our life isn't like that anymore.
Yep. And then, so is she at school?
Kinder. She's at preschool. She just started preschool. She'll go to kinder next year.
Awesome. So that gives you a bit of space to start. Tell us about your podcast.
Yeah. So last year, and inspired by you two, so thank you. You know, there was a bit of a thing about Lizzo and Beyonce with their lyrics.
Yes.
They're saying the words. I think they said the words.
Hannah.
So I did a bit of a Facebook rant because I get quite offended when people say the word retard.
Oh,
yes. I used to like boil my blood and I'd want to punch people in the face.
Yep.
Still kind of do.
Yeah.
But then I did a lot of work with like not letting things affect me.
Yes.
I see both shades. I see the magic and I see the shitness.
Yeah.
When I did a major Facebook rant about that, because I'm a woman, I love music, I love pop culture, and I thought it was really ignorant for them to, you know, in this day and age, like, really, do we still have to have this conversation? So then what I did is I deleted my Facebook rant and I was driving in my car and I opened up Anchor and I recorded my first episode, which was that using that word and how offensive it is and how we shouldn't be having to tell people that it's offensive and don't use it, use it and reference it in pop culture. And I feel like it just had been an idea of mine for a long time, because like I was saying to you guys, I started a business. I've had a very successful business. I've sold it. I've done some pretty cool things, and I did it because I didn't want to be the mum of the sick kid.
Yeah. Mm.
And then now I feel like I've got the space to.
Yes.
I know a lot of people, and you two included, that have really done some incredible things, and no one talks about that.
No.
No one talks about that. No one talks about all the women. And I've even my kidney mums, like people in my circle that have started.
All amazing.
Amazing things, because they had to create their own job and they wanted to like release their creativity and they wanted to have something else. So I wanted to, I'm building a marketplace and I want to talk about entrepreneurship as a way of meaningful employment for the carers, the mums, and for the kids. Like Josh is, you know, 15, 16. You know, I don't want him to go work in a factory and sort out rags. Like he's does really cool stuff on TikTok. He could be a content creator.
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
There's so many opportunities now, and I just feel like no one's having that conversation.
Yeah,
so
it's
I
really
wanted
to
talk
to
about
updated.
Have that, you know, kind of in the name Unplug, like we're plugging entrepreneurs with disabilities, carers, people that are chronically ill, and we're talking about them. We're also showing it as an opportunity, but we're also having that conversation about business and disability, not NDI service provider and government-funded program, but as, hang on, look at all these incredible people.
Yeah, because there's so many.
That you would never know that I've been through all that I've been through and I'm showing up and you might think I'm awesome. I am awesome, but it's like I had to create that for myself.
Yes, you did.
What do you get? 5 days sick leave a year? So that's kind of, and I've got the space now to do it, and especially now with Jet, I want to give back to the community that's given me so much as well. So I just thought it was a good time, and I have no idea what I'm doing with the podcast.
Oh, you did a great job. You did a gorgeous episode about us. And it was really lovely. You sent it to us, and I listened, and I just thought, right, we're getting her on.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, so thank you for that.
Yeah, and there's, you know, like there's so many people. Like I don't need to tell you. I don't need to tell the listeners. Like they themselves, they are the people we're talking about that are awesome. But no one's like. You know, putting them up on a pedestal and bowing down to them, which we should be.
How do we find these entrepreneurs and these businesses? Like I am actively seeking them. And I remember during the drought, there was this amazing Instagram account that popped up called Buy From The Bush. And I follow it. I bought Christmas presents every year from there. I was like, I am actually the people that
need it
and I'm buying stuff that I really like. So that's what we want. Like we just want access to knowing what's there, how do we get it, can we work with them, or can we support them by buying their or using their products or their following their TikToks or whatever. You know, I think there's a huge thirst for it. We just can't find it.
Yes.
Well, I'm building it.
Yeah, I know.
The marketplace will be I'm hoping to launch Disability Pride Month, July.
Yes.
So, I've been building – again, I've been building databases. I just every day I'm like finding something on Instagram or TikTok and my head is exploding with excitement because there's so much like and to take it mainstream. Yeah, so yeah. People want to support these entrepreneurs, but there's no avenue. And I find there's people doing incredible things and they have a massive following themselves, but they're kind of preaching to the converted. I want to take it that's
awesome, Simone.
What I'm doing, yeah.
And I think as a, I don't know, maybe it's me at 50, but I feel like my daughters are like this and they're in their 20s. Like they don't want fast fashion. They want slow fashion. They'll buy secondhand rather than something that's made in a sweatshop. And I know there's a little bit of privilege that comes with that, but I think we're really waking up to wanting to know where our products are coming from, who's providing that service, have they got integrity, can I buy this from somebody else that is actually doing just as good a job but is lesser known? And I think we're right on the cusp of that, hopefully, revolution of, change.
Yeah, I feel we're definitely on the cusp of that. Mm. I don't want to compare it to other kind of issues, but I feel like especially following Dylan Alcott, Australian of the Year, like people are ready for this conversation.
Yeah, so
and an empowering, positive conversation, not a boohoo conversation.
No.
That was never the intention anyway. Uh-uh. But people are very interested to talk about this now and want to know all those things. So,
And good on you.
Where I'm at with my daughter being in her final year of school, it's, there's days when I can think about it and other days I can't. What is she going to do next year? And yes, I can build her a business, but I'll probably have to manage that. Can I do that? Do I have the energy for that? I know support workers will help, but they leave. The buck will stop with me. And I will probably do it because I want her to shine in this life.
Yeah, so we want to support people like that as well, and I guess the marketplace is an opportunity to hold all that infrastructure, we can carry all that infrastructure. And I was inspired. There was a young man on the Sunshine Coast, and he loved cooking, so they got him a chef that was a support worker, and he made beef jerky, and then he sold it at the market.
Awesome.
So there's cool stuff there, but like you said, program finishes or that funding finishes, what do they do? So this is about taking it, there's lots of avenues there and there's lots of support
and
available.
How is it sustainable for some sort of long term? Because I can see that it would be great for a couple of years, but how do we make this meaningful for her for a long time? And, of course, there's women that's gone before us. But, to have that place, maybe there's something in there too that can be, I don't know, or...
Yeah.
How do we have all these people with intellectual disabilities supported for a long time? I don't know. I've met a lot of them unemployed and it's difficult.
Well, we want to change that and we just start by having that conversation.
Good for you.
We will back you.
You sound great. I said you sound awesome. So you've got good equipment. You're doing great.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you.
We're all keen. The peas will be keen.
Yeah, the peas will follow you, of course.
They're the best.
Yes. We have the best listeners ever. Well, thank you, Simone. Is there anything we've missed that you want to tell the world?
No, I just wanted to thank you so much. I'm a huge fan. Poor Kate. Lucky you weren't there, Mandy, because I kidnapped you. If you can get a chance, I think, Kate, the talk you gave, I don't want to give it away. You have to book them to hear it. I think a lot of us mums need to hear that. So book her and have that message spread.
Awesome.
So
thank
you. Yeah, so good.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah, we love carers. We love talking to carers. Yes. And we do have a really good talk.
Yeah, yeah, we do.
We say so ourselves.
I couldn't come because my daughter was in the thick of exams.
I thought it was Special Olympics. I can't remember.
No, it was just a
VCE.
There was a huge, it was just a very busy time.
It was. Yep. And I think we had like back-to-back speaking things too.
Yeah.
Like it was, anyway. Sometimes you get one P.
Just get your both back
then. Yay! This may be not November, but that's when Carers Week is. So
yes.
Anyway, once she finishes year 12, I'll be a little bit more free.
Yes, that's right.
Well, thank you, Simone.
Thank you so much.
Please go and follow her, encourage her.
There'll be information in the show notes.
And, we made this podcast for you, Simone.
Yeah,
right?
We did. Yeah.
We made it for you.
Don't make me cry. Yeah. Thank you.
See you. Oh, Kate.
What an amazing woman. She was so incredible when I met her in Marimbula.
Yes.
And actually, all those women, of course, and a couple of men were just awesome. They're just the best people.
Yes, and we'd messaged about sleep because said that in her podcast episode, and I can't remember that, but
yes.
I must have seen something and she was struggling with her prem sleep and I wrote something. So it's beautiful how you meet again.
I know.
You know, and the internet, we're so thankful for it.
Oh, the internet's revolutionized.
Go and follow her. This is the stuff we live for, is promoting our peace.
And this is going to change
change
the world. Yes. Like, I'm serious. That buy from the bush changed the way I buy.
It did.
I check it out whenever I've got, you know, like multiple presents or whatever. I'm like, I could buy that from there.
Yeah, I want some bunting from them.
Yes, I'd rather my socks from that little, you know, sheep farmer.
Yes.
So,
Yes.
This is going to be the same.
Yeah, go and follow her podcast.
Yes, and when she launches in July, we'll all be very excited. Maybe she can do like an online launch.
Yeah, and maybe like I'm thinking Amelia's Cookies. Like there's so many of us. We've interviewed so many people.
Yes.
So maybe you could reach out
Candles.
To her. Yeah, Grace, like we need to get them on too. Mm. Let maybe go and seek Simone out.
Yeah.
And then you can be on that database as well.
And she'll be like, oh my goodness.
Oh, here we go.
I'm overwhelmed.
Have come.
No, she won't. She'll love it.
She will love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is one of the really beautiful things that astonishes us because we never thought this would happen in the podcast, but we can promote other people's work.
Yes.
And I just think that's incredible. That was never something I thought would happen.
No, I don't know what we knew would happen really.
No. Anyway, what made you cry this week?
So I've had a few things but actually, I'm going to turn my cry into a laugh. So I had a tricky conversation with a lawyer. Anyone who's been separated understands what that means. It's not bad. It's just tricky. But anyway, I was a bit – at one point, she's like, I know you're getting emotional here.
Of course.
Anyway, and then I was like listening to her and I was like, she sounds like – is she – what's she doing? And then she said to me, oh, just let you know, this is off the clock. Like she was not charging me for this conversation. And she goes, and, you know, I'm on my treadmill. You just go from that. I'm like, oh. And I was just like slovenly sitting at the table.
Yeah,
and I was
like oh, this is so heavy.
Yeah. And then
she's like, walking. Just on a treadmill.
Thankfully, she had a very tricky separation herself. No, I don't have a tricky separation, but she has things that she can say, I know this.
Yes, great.
This is, and so I'm like, maybe.
I know
And I'm like, well, I don't know this because I would never have a conversation like this whilst walking on a treadmill.
Next time we have someone really fit on,
let's
do the interview on a treadmill.
I thought that's why you're fit, isn't it? Because you're squeezing
this
in.
Yes. It's not something we do.
No, it's really not.
With our fitness, but good for you.
Yes. Anyway, it was just a moment of like, there you go. You can be sad and then be laughing the next very minute.
That is our whole life.
It really is. What about you, Mandy?
I just had a cry with Molly because she had a tricky day at school and some tricky things happening and she gets all very overwhelmed by text messaging it's very difficult for her and the speed.
Mm-mm.
And so I'm texting the friends to say, thank you, this is what she meant. And we just all had a cry together and she was crying through the night and I was just like, oh gosh,
it's
this is hard. And this is the complexity of her little life and it's changing because she's growing into a adult.
Yes, that's right.
So, we just had a cry together and
The first few weeks, I know it's not wasn't specifically related to settling into school.
Oh, no, but it is settling into
school. But those first few weeks of settling into school are so tiring.
It's really tiring.
And so
– and poor Miss 12, she's just thrown into it and I'm like, you'll be fine.
Yeah. And she will.
And she will.
Other
that's
parents
right.
do that too.
Yeah,
but
I know, but I feel
when
guilty.
When you're nurturing like you. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So it's – yeah, they're just – I just hate – the first month or 4 or 5 weeks of school term for the year. I hate it. Not that anything terrible's happening, don't get me wrong.
No.
But it's just I'm waiting.
Yeah.
You know, sort of on high alert and what's going to happen tomorrow.
Oh, sure.
And when they come in, like sometimes my boys will be chatting before they get into the car. I'm like, they're talking about something.
Yes.
They're
what?
Deciding whether or not to tell mum or and I'm like, anyway.
Yeah, it's that feeling of get ready.
Yes.
And like I'll be on the phone. So often I'll ring my friends on that 15-minute drive to pick up Molly and I'll say, and incoming.
We do that.
Now. No, they all just go, bye. Because then I'm like, okay, have I brought the right snack? No. Okay. Just all of that.
Is the air temperature on the right?
No.
Okay. Anyway.
Yes. What about you make a difference?
So my make a difference this week, my mum came down. She does not trust me around gardens, which is fair.
I saw this.
Yes, you did see this. Mandy and I were doing some work for Neighbours Every Day. And mum, I've got a beautiful row. I've told everyone on this podcast, if you're new, welcome. But I've got a beautiful row of crab apples out the front of my house and they grow very fast.
Yes.
It's probably not very fast, but it seems fast. I've had to prune a couple of times since I've been single and I only have little secateurs. So I'm like trying to reach up and I can't get them to. Anyway, mum's got big loppers.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're called. Yeah. But she won't let me do it. So she.
Well.
I was like, all right. Okay. Anyway, so she lopped them all while we were doing that work. But and there's just a huge pile of them in the front yard that
lopping,
I have to now.
Not weeding.
Not weeding. Yes. Yes. But she was being a gardening mum, so
difference. These are dry in the pot. Why haven't you watered that?
I know. She was telling me off right in front of Mandy.
I don't care.
It's like a 15-minute soak, Kate. You can't just pass the hose by. And then last night she rang me. She's like,
"Have
you?"
I was like, "Please don't drive past mine."
Well, your garden's lovely. Your husband's a bit of a
he does. He is a man. He's a meticulous man.
Yes, he is. Yes. Your garden's beautiful. Mine is definitely not, and I'm. Would love it to be beautiful, but I'm never going to do it. It's not my jam.
No.
But, yeah, she rang me last night and, like, did you soak? Because you said you'd watered and I dug down and it was dry.
I was nervous.
So I'm never living up to the gardening expectations of my mum, but my crab apples did get pruned.
Yes, I saw that.
What about your make a difference?
I went to Claire Tonti's album launch. She gifted Kate and I some tickets.
Yes.
And I also took Akka because she's...
Yeah, remember show notes, Akka people, our beautiful friend.
She's had a rough time and I thought maybe some live music would be lovely. And so we enjoyed listening to Claire and just sitting there and we got some food and we just had time together, which is very rare.
And listen to music.
So that was really lovely. And I also was invited to DJ Cooper's 18th.
Yes, that's
so
incredible.
So that was really fun and really moving. And when Bron did her speech, I was crying.
Oh,
other
I can
friend
imagine.
Di was crying and we were just like, it's a lot. And we've known each other since they were babies.
Yes.
We met on an essential baby forum.
Yeah.
And we've sort of seen each other through lots.
Incredible.
And just her speech, she has an adult now and that's my next step, yours.
Yes.
And, yeah, it's overwhelming. I've never been a mum of going to 18ths before.
No.
So it's all new for me.
Yeah, it is.
And you love them.
Yeah,
and you're like,
just so
you
proud
know,
of
what's
everything
not to love
he's
about
achieved.
Him.
And everything Bron's achieved.
Yes, I know. I was just
she's a powerhouse mother.
She is.
Yep.
And, you know, I remember her coming to my house when they were all tiny and we were just drowning.
Yes.
And so to see her thriving.
Yes.
In her beautiful home and with all the support around her and just watching Cooper's grandpa hug him and then all the family like surrounding and
all
I just
the love.
Thought, wow.
Yep.
You know, this is what makes P families thrive.
Yes.
And a lot of you don't have that.
Yes.
I have that.
Yes, yes.
And it was just an overwhelming moment.
Yeah.
And beautiful. We had to rush off to Special Olympics because Molly does not want to miss that.
No, fair, good.
And, so it was a busy, lovely weekend.
Yeah, good. And my laugh, so this laugh is used with permission from my boys. Anyway, we were coming home from the school bus and I don't know how we started talking about Santa. But we started talking about Santa Claus, who obviously is real. I have
yes.
no issues with that.
Yes.
Yep. Any little ears listening, I love Santa too. Anyway, and then Buzz and Woody were talking about how Santa brings different things to different homes.
Yes.
You know, like some people might get an overseas holiday.
Yes.
And some people might get a tennis ball.
Yes.
And we just ended up talking about it. And then Buzz said, the truth is, I think there's like a bogan Santa. I think... just listed all these different sort of Santas. Like there's probably a posh Santa.
Yes.
There's probably like a boring Santa that goes to boring people's houses. And I was crying by this point. And he goes, if you wake up on Christmas morning and there's a vape in your stocking, you've got bogan Santa.
I can't wait for this year's Christmas.
I was
which
like,
Santa
of course.
Is it going to be? Of course.
Who's your Santa? And he goes, and if you really want to know about yourself, you probably just have to look at what Santa is in your heart. And I was laughing so hard.
What
he's like,
Santa
this
is
going on
heart?
The podcast, isn't it,
yes,
Mum? I said, yes,
is.
This one is. This is.
Oh, boy.
Of course there's a bogan Santa.
Of course. There is. And then there must be a P Santa.
Yes, there's
the
a P Santa.
The one who's gone to a lot of research and has found the most incredible gifts.
Yes, there's different Santas.
There is.
So you heard it
and
first
there's different
here.
Santas for different children.
That's right.
Yes.
In the One Family.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is this is a book.
This is a book.
He needs to write this book. This is a children's book.
It is a children's book, all the different Santas.
Yes.
And, you know, I was like, yeah, we went the deep into the conversation. Santa, but the vaping Santa.
Imagine.
I mean, you can't have much more at the moment in a teenager's life than vaping.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just surrounding them. They can't. Yeah.
Yep.
I just, Woody said, he goes, I see those tough kids at school vaping and I think, ooh, nice passion fruit smell. Yeah, when we used to smoke, it was tough. It was actual fire.
This is like a it was menthol.
Passion fruit
that
smell.
That smelled nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
vaping.
Like, just the way
whatever.
He said it. Yeah, it's like it's tough, very tough.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Anyway, yeah, it was a big laugh. And I was like, yep, I like the different Santas.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I'm
well, I had a big laugh too because we were there with Amy, our support worker. She was leaving. She's only working with us on a Tuesday now.
Mm-mm.
So for the last 3 weeks, I've said, see you next Tuesday. And then her and Millie laugh.
Yes.
And I was like, what? And then she said, don't worry, Mum, I'm just going to keep you innocent. And I was like, what on earth are you talking about? I don't know. I said, see you next – I go, see you next Tuesday?
Yeah.
What is wrong with that? And Amy's like, you say it to me every week and I just have to laugh and then leave. I was like, I just said, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm an idiot. And then I go, oh, C-U-N-T.
Yeah.
Like, see you in the Northern Territory.
Yeah.
Right. So I just go, I'm looking forward to clasping eyes on your face next week.
Now she's going to hear all the most Pride and Prejudice versions See you next Tuesday.
I thought when you've got 20-year-olds in your house and they're not yours.
Yes.
And but they can't tell you.
And it's so great that Molly and her had that joke were out of it.
Yeah, no, it was just Millie.
Oh, it was
so,
Millie.
So she was just like, Mom, you're so embarrassing.
Yeah.
I know, Molly didn't know. And I was like, actually, and now my phone is so great because I don't have to go through 9 pages. So thank you for helping me do that
too.
Yes,
she organised your apps.
Love these support workers in my home. Oh, the greatest. So we did laugh a lot. So, yep, I won't see her next Tuesday.
No.
I'll look forward to clapping eyes on her beautiful voice. That's what I said.
Thank you, Peas.
Dear, thank
rate
you.
And review. We love them. I've seen a few new reviews.
Yes,
and it
thank
makes
you.
Our little
Me
hearts
too.
Sing.
Yep, 5 stars. Come
five
on,
stars.
All the way.
Yep. And we will see you next Thursday.
See you next Thursday. It's just as bad. Oh my gosh! I look forward to you putting AirPods in on the following Thursday. See you. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey.
For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.